Good evening and a warm welcome to the service this evening. Those who are here, good to see a good number again here this evening, and those who are watching online. It's good for us to come together to worship God. We're going to begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, the first two stanzas of the psalm, verses 1 to 3, as it's marked in English. To thee I lift my soul, O Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes triumph over me. Let none that wait on thee be put to shame at all, but those that without cause transgress, let shame upon them fall. And this, these words, as we think about the book of Esther and the unfolding story, we see how they tie in this plot line. So let's sing these words to God's praise. We'll remain seated to sing in Gaelic. Farrakhar to lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
No, dear Grosh, for nine of us will be amid. Hooking at the Nesker, so you see, shut up as she was out of the hair. Snad go hen crying cold to the shellish in your hearna. As in your corny, give it to henich and to loading and the precious spirit nav. It was give a cachanakin either falach or cachni a haconded in hen. It was in your yanu lit the spirits. Sashin your foyer and go to the neskers. Gyda gohen gan yng Nghyrm yn y nwydele, y fi ti'n cael y lle, gyfi ffef orsta, agos na chan ni diab yn y han gain, y fi ffef ydyn cairna. A di at ni ges ydyn cairna, yw at sbion o'ch nôr. E di at sŵas mae'r nhwlyd yd y sgiahen. Rwy at agos chanas at sgi, siwyl at agos chananich i at. Sashin yng Atamala gyda nesgyr sydysht. Nos an na karaman psish al hawpulwch gorn. Ygys du mala gain na dyd yng hen gyni fi gyd gael gyn gyfi cynnych yng cawn y chael. Ygys mos an o'n gras bar nid ych gw hen chyn cond ydi chael. Gyfyd du hen y gael as lai bydd yr son. Sgwyd ysbyrdd hen y glwysyd O anam, go anam, suyachan, go suyachan. Sgibu ka hulit dunyak in mochal, et la hadach bianich jagar kuostach. Chet the spirit he in a hatal gar bioch, chanyal tilevet bian gain, an signor. Sashinya foyachan go to hear no shonerein you gain, snahau tian gain. Deed in he in a tenochuselet gain a hachko. Souls nach kurl klos nach deine griebe und den griebe dinge mit nichen schöne gulich dir geibs in der gewelt kraga nach mit ich du hier net krag nu guchze in den jerskerse schön gutrich gefadach ging gewischen vor gewischen gebach scholak ach tein guch dann ja nicht gewelusse gede ja luke bit o konde to lu he Ögis gulu kondu duchim ügi vega bianache. Ösin taingel guchta schon den karem hukku gain, edin kachkan jeder kohle. Nede hoesin den karem visse jeschies ek de warst, ene nuadele den halle. A kala nüge vajtschen, e jau gag wakin. Gianu schief shisho, marchainachan aramse. Zashin gata waluch, Gráa an áun a hoca níanis a dhub a shan a chia dúad. Agus ha gáastachas ed áil an nyev fachand an a fiachgach a genag adachas. Sa gáastachas an a misg do lúi ed sgá agus gwaad an ele ed an cúdiad of da chlóin a fein. Sgata ha shan a genag gáastachas as ni nich an a hana shan. Gaiag har ksí dúach braunach kúdiach. Sinis meánach sa cainach na léith na chasachat sniúnach lach gyfis suye ag a bhórst cáladain. Agus na chala daun na smá. Agus an chúriach áldin ag ágat a sin gyoi agus an nianis. Agus hwyd a sin ará a gainach gar cría gyfil sinin na spochga a sgá agus na chala cáladain. Ach jaulus i hirn en ach fagut us uheen, gynianis. Ad fyrk hus i viskriön agus gyalachan, frestult an a last an a nai. Bia daun ed i biakul in hirn. Sashin ag at a vanlagur shon na chunig shin, s na chuala shin. Na laan shishin agus na vlas shin ez, ed an triab naan. Agus nu da hashin an eshe, ed kin an oas, o vin an a bönyag. Agus hasin hias as a glaun. Asin gata vandu gudu du si gia a glinia, ich hasht chu kenjachs gudu du gia na bönyu. Snöda hasin a nesha tola machan an thul an an uadele. Gyan ich an mianich di gata hasin as an thul, nach bishin yen an thul. Sasin a gorni ashan, du chutachus, du hrarachus, du stiudag heni vi yorn. Gyfyd du hen y stiwydig ys cymryd yn gwy cyrst. Chan y lan yn y hir yn o'ch ffwl ag ysbiol. Sa sy'n chw gymaint trich gydol ys ffyn draf fwyd. Sa na fyd eich gyrwch sy'n mynd y lôn bychgach. E fiach yn di ys casyn y fydd fwyn. Sa fiach yn di ys milch. Sa fiach yn di ys slwg o sŵs. Chóan grás fe gudogu tú héin, bálu gíán a drsíniu gusé. viską, ko tik įtulai, ant skachnydis, iš nieko dar ladis. Kvietis peritėn, gar kuoštachas, gar pijachas. Viską, bimitė dar larak, visinės išėjydamas, kaip falą vūnhen, sešamas, kamerktis, šachus patšen. Renykin humorė, visko jantachai dar san. Jokas ha gautin, kalėtalienė, nykin jantachai dar san hast. Aš negatomalu, kad neįkinok, kad ištišan. Tolūk, heins, aš nekūrnyk, bet tu neštuk, kachanakai. Padarinis perikins, aš nekūt fėmėt, ūrnyjini hėl. Aš netengil, kuktušan, ūrnyjini hakėdi suos, jėga nekivomant čo hėl. Ūrnyjini, aš neklaingin, uodės bi, achatėdin klaingin, anan kūrštin, nėvin huos. Jūs bijate de frakušt, netauma fėl. Sašinė kūrnyje nokkaš an vinti, šiandien ha-has tėtumų nukrau. Hatkulien varė hirn. Nėr tachy fėns, nėr barkins, nėr čiauly. Gūrėkė imalo daun būt, fydėgis minahan, balikėgis nienan. Amskach ktrėvėgis kinė. O hirnė kadada tūsė, tėvėk kachėns, kadada tūtė nienė, nachtėkė na talabė. Gefechki mit der Röjach, gekinjachkün, lekuach. Gefechki mit nichen Chlor, war jantach, erigianig an ananem, der lennach nove, erse Christ. Gefechki mit der Herrn Öri, erigianig, satrivikud hadisch. Die Fiedigus menaniges Agri etien. Gewitthöcht im Schiers, an anolach, an amologuts. Gefechki mit jes Könnevenoni, satrivikud hadisch. Die Töne gierige Wittchen, ich eine Göre gut, sind dann in dir, hab jorges Fier. Schingat der Wandel Gehirn, was schon gach nie rein und gein. Sau gelt ein Gein, gach an, hickat die Onsi, gattach im Hechke, in se schiddu trochke der Gesmahnes. Hau gelt ein Nachtelik, was charret bei ihr mach. Smaschene Hirn, es schingat Fakel, Kuljena tolavan pjanist. So kuulni jošan, nehdi ljokal šies fatolai, veljahpanan tjenjese striplat. Sa taun hrujat hat kuljian var. Fionja na nospatur, fionjek na tachaman. O, kibitu se šeina gmach tolav levis kanjonsi. Skibitu gantokala našti dišti, visakasik slantje gaju. Adas tu sin hieš an ha komisach edin karp ugas hanyeva anyan karp achan dhanam marin keltna. Ula nach ugsi lebes. Ashin ga dadukku tens ashin giori te vianach gai. Sto laah adach sto chutyachu sto chuchoman sto chumar suhas. Luch kuchriyev dishti vruchti ugas launch. Shinyo gooni edesan. Siegan edin aich anoch kene. Gwyrs syach yn elyf halwf na'r mysg. Ygwys gw aasht lawr ych y fawr, y lawr ddain, chwtrych. Ygwys dw edrysht eff halaf hyn, ydy dych wys yn iol ys ygwys sef a gyr ych cond ydyn, sef a fdiallach yn ymian. Gwyd dw hen y car ag sŵs gwffaichgylach, gach gnet dy hor ygwys lion. Ygwys gybyt o gen a gaib ygwys edesan, fat o fascain i'r nyrdesan na ar smwanj. Sy'n y gwrn i hir na sy'n carin tyl, fyr a fel sy'n y pech gyn cogw, ygwys tŵr sy'n yn chogw. Fyr a fel sy'n y pech gyn brwyd yl o'ch gygwys, nich yn oafas o'ch gael aachtio. Dynia, edy mwrst, edy marach, clawn ygwys mnahan, Ysga brwydioloch yn y dynia. Ha cwma dyfed dynia sy'n biel. Chwyfad ys ha iwrdus yn hen y dysasach. Sa sy'n y gwrn i o'n gras fyr fianaste hws a ha fengin i nich yn y hana sian. O lwych yw dla la as yn ghanadw gwrwyg y sio heid y gysgadeid na sadia. Gwydadadw stad edrych hogwg a Gwgwyd ydw cigleo gwrs dian y dolwog hyn. Sin gaf hengin as na pepid in neachgag. Fidagus mnans clowns at a gulnid is in hirn. Os an gleag agus dian vi arras. Harg tiach na dolamach gan yonsi. Sa sin yw gŵr ni gyda bydw hen at y fal y tenu tîm eichlor. Gan gleig y fysg a dian yn y nafyd a yn tod ar. Bianych at y hir nes bianych nid y gyr lenna yn y sga agos gwyl yn dawch ys an y te. Bi hen cwnd y dylwg an y dwch yn yn dwy. Fer y fel y gyr lenna yn y dian y gorau. Cwtio dy gwyl yn y bdys, cwtio dy sarach, cwtio dy mara. Chôn gras par mi anach, gyda dy dwhen gai mnyasht. I ddeir o la, strain mi nyr yn ialach. Gyda dwhen at yn ymwb yn y byg gair. Gyda dwhen, gyda'n cwtio chw, yn nawm ffeil. Bi anach yn ynes o cwnd ydy chael. Bi anach yr cwnd, yl stain gwch dy hirn. Os yna mae'r chwydig yw lein yn oastr yn y blion ych yn grwy gynnaeth yw moch. Si'n gada fodog os yna rein yw gain sy'n hawd dian. Sa si'n y crebt yn y ni wedi ar son hast. Yn diach gyda chwyd yw asyr cyn yn y ni cyn naf. A si'n gada fodog gyda hon. E hen sy'n hewl os yna nobyd yn fodd a hat y dian. Gyfyd dw hen y chwydig yw gachan ha cwmar sŵas o lain. An yn ôl ni an y ffian ys yn y siadabys. Sgyfengi mi gmôr yn y tîn, as na leen hyd hysioch gorn gyfyd gwyd yn doch ys ygys y mwyni hyn yn y te. Sgyfengi mi bianach gan eisyn y geori gyn hen mae'r chonol yn ysgyr sa eisyn y geori. Gan y chonol yn sgan y chwyl y bwl, bawl gan y nyglwys gwrwy gymal o doen fod, fyr y fyr dan emsydd y adiach ygys fyr y fyr siol ma'n rwyach gyda chwyd yn y spirits yn y ffeidi. O, gybyg y siol sy'n edrychgach y leoni yn tylwoi, sgybyd dwys yr geod o'r stifas na dam a fe. Bu hen yn esdol yr hosioch o'r nes yn cach gan eich posgl o'r nors pa'r coen. Gybyd o gyr nolwch ys gyr diesiolwch. Fa chan o'n y gyrd y gybiag at gain. Han yr isag dyniach yn gehaid hosioch o'r na gebyn minad nhw hwyrach mewn gwrs. A chan gras fyr gybyd dwys ac yn merach gyda'r nanam. Ar yon cyniach ystaion, nach byg y brach ydych harach, an yng nghym nhw an y siwriach. Mae dwi'n gwybod o warn yn eisiau diolial ar y glant o gnwys, sgybwch sŵrs ni'n glod fyr ysbryd naf, a gael con i nyr cdiach yn nyr nanam. Sgyn eis ti dwi'r dwi'r nôl ni, sgyfrygu dwi'n sy'n an y si, gyda'n o'r troch gyda dwi'r nanam yn boch, ac sgybwch o glod o gysoch lwb ac dan amsoch o siwri. Sy'n hwyle sy'n y geori cwnd i maen ys nyrnwyl i fiachgi yn anna nana amser sgach di ysd. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing to God's praise again. Mission Praise 746. What a friend we have in Jesus. We'll stand to sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry.
Let's turn now to God's Word, and we'll read from Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. And you remember that 2 weeks ago, as we came to this, an edict has been served, and all the Jews, all God's people, have been notified that there's this impending judgment from the state that's to fall on them. There was this death sentence that hung over them, and Mordecai and Esther, who weren't known as God's people, are now coming to terms with this, and they are having to consider how to respond to this. So, Esther 4 and chapter 1. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict was an order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence, to beg for mercy and to plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, a night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again now to God's praise the words on the screen. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Again, we'll stand to sing.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, and though it be a cross that raises me, still all my song would be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer.
Let's pray again as we come back to God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you that you are the God who calls us to draw near to you, and we thank you that you are the God who promises that as we seek to draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And we recognise that that is all made possible, not through our own endeavours or our own desires or our own earnest cries, but we thank you that the way into your presence has been made possible. It's been opened by Jesus. We think of the cross when Jesus died and the curtain tore from top to bottom, showing that the way into the presence of God, into the holiest of holies, was now clear, it was now open through the shed blood of Jesus. So as we seek to come near to you, we do so in Jesus' name. We do so trusting in the blood of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that we would know and experience your presence as we bow before you. We thank you that as we open the Word of God, we hear the voice of God. And we ask that you would open our ears to hear your voice. We pray that you would speak into our lives and our experience this evening. And we thank you that in our circumstances as well, in the details of our lives you speak, and even in the words of the hymn that we sang, even in our woes, we are often drawn nearer to you. And we see that in this account that we read of Esther and Mordecai and your people who are facing the most awful news, who are in a state of despair. And yet we thank you that through these dark circumstances, our salvation, not just their salvation, but our salvation was secured. So hear our prayers and help us, Lord, as we look to you. And what we pray for ourselves here in this service, we pray for the teenagers as they meet after this service. We pray for the YF as they come together around your word, that you would speak to them, that you would draw near to them, that you would cause those who are not yet trusting you to look in faith to Jesus in the early years, and those who are your people and who are seeking to follow you in a world and in a culture that is difficult to follow Jesus in. We pray that you would give them strength, that you would sanctify them. We pray for those who lead them as well, for Stuart and Joyce and others who will lead this evening, that you would use them, that you would bless them, and that you would help them as they seek to point the young ones to Jesus. So hear our prayers and continue with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you do when you hit a huge problem, you know, or a crisis in life? What do you do? How do you react when you all of a sudden are facing something that you could never have foreseen was coming, but it's now unavoidable, and it's all you can think about? I mean, if we think about our own world just now, imagine being just an ordinary person in the nation of Ukraine. Just a few weeks ago, their lives were very much like our lives, peaceful and stable and fairly secure. Life was relatively comfortable. And then, very quickly, they started to hear of the threat of Russia overshadowing them. And within a few days, bombs were falling, and families were wondering, what on earth do we do? And that's kind of the situation that God's people were in, as we pick back up in Esther 4. An edict has been drafted and approved, and it's been delivered throughout the kingdom. Haman, who is the prime minister, he's the baddie in this story. He's managed to manipulate the king, King Xerxes, who wasn't a very honourable man in the first place, but he's been manipulated and used by this character, Haman. And legislation has been passed that will And I'm quoting here from chapter 3, verse 13, will allow God's people to be destroyed and killed and annihilated. Just so there's absolutely no doubt over what's instructed here. God's people are to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. All the Jews, young and old, women and little children. So that's the order, that's the edict that's gone out. And so for God's people, this was the most serious trouble. This was not an inconvenience or a slight concern that had come into their lives. They were in the most grave danger. They were in the most serious trouble. And trouble is never something that we welcome. It's never something that we look for. But very often, trouble and difficulty are used by God to sanctify his people, to build us up, to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith. Because very often it's in the midst of trouble that we see how powerful God is and what he can do. Very often it's not calm and peaceful times, but it's trouble that brings God's people out into the open. And when you think about the book of Esther, so far in this book, God's people haven't been that bright. They've kind of had their heads down, trying to fly under the radar. And some of the commentators say that was wise and that was necessary, that they would keep their heads down and say nothing. And some of the commentators say they were compromised and they should have been standing up for Jesus, to use our New Testament language. We don't know what the answer to that one is. We're not their judge. We're not asked to make a judgment on what was going on in the hearts and minds of God's people back then. But we can see that they weren't that visible and they weren't that audible. But from this point on, we see Mordecai, one of the main characters, a man of God. And we see Esther, the main character, really, in terms of the human interest here. She's a woman of God, and both Mordecai and Esther, they step up from this point on. They show courage. Their faith is seen. Their faith is heard as they respond to this awful situation. Malcolm McLean, the minister who was in Scalpe for a few years, he writes this. He says, "It was a dark time, but often such occasions are the making of a person." And in this chapter from the book of Esther, we see how Esther came out of the shadows as far as God's kingdom was concerned and played a vital role in its ongoing existence. So what I want to look at tonight in the minutes that we have is how God's people in this chapter respond to trouble. And there's three things to note. The first thing is they pray. The second thing is they plan. The final thing, and we'll just say a word about it, is they proceed. So very simple, very straightforward. They pray, they plan, and they proceed. So first of all, they pray. Look at verses 1 to verse 3. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, this edict that's been served, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now you might be saying, well, where did you get prayer from in these three verses? Where does it say that they prayed? And, well, it doesn't say that they prayed. But in verse 3, it mentions fasting. And fasting is always accompanied by prayer in the Bible. Warren Wiersbe, the commentator, says, "Fasting and prayer are frequently found together in Scripture, for fasting is a preparation for concentrated and humble prayer. You could go to Ezra for that. You can go to Psalm 35 for that. You can go to Daniel 9 and see that. You can go to Acts 13 and see that pattern. Fasting and prayer always went together in the Bible. And so they pray. Now the situation was hostile. Remember, they're not in a Christian friendly culture. This Persian Empire was a place where it was very dangerous to have conversations about faith. It wasn't possible to go to the local shop and ask to have a notice put up for a prayer meeting. But they prayed. There is this response to the reality of the situation they were facing, and the first thing they do is they pray. And that's our first lesson tonight, an application. And it's a basic lesson, but it's a lesson that certainly I need to keep on learning, so I think we all need to keep on learning this lesson. The first thing we do when we hit trouble, whether it's as a church, whether it's as a family, whether it's as an individual, whether it's as a nation, the first thing we do is we're to pray. And so we see them pray. We're fasting, but that fasting was a code for prayer. Let's think a little bit more about this point, though, because not only did they pray, but we're given an insight into how they prayed, and we can see something about the nature of their prayer. So what do we see in their prayer? Well, there's two things we see in the way that they prayed. There's repentance, and there's a reality about their prayer. If you look at verse 1 and 2, we can see that they're not wearing suits, they're not wearing tracksuits, they're not wearing their casual clothes as they turn to prayer. They are clothed in sackcloth and ashes. And that was the uniform of prayer. That was an open sign of repentance. These were garments that were put on to indicate a repentance about the people. One commentator says sackcloth and ashes were used as an outward sign of one's inward condition. Such a symbol made one's change of heart visible and demonstrated the sincerity of one's grief and or repentance. So as they prayed, there's repentance. As they faced this crisis, you could say they were asking God to search their hearts. And as God searched their hearts, and as perhaps they were shown their sin, they don't contest it, they repent. So the sackcloth and the ashes indicates a repentance, a contrite spirit that's seen among God's people. So there's repentance in their prayer. And the second thing in their prayer is there's a reality about it. This was real prayer. This was intense prayer. This was sincere prayer. They tore their clothes, it says in verse 1, in desperation. They lay down before God, it says in verse 3. There was a sound of weeping and wailing amongst God's people. This was intense, this was fervent, there was a reality about their prayer. This wasn't casual, this wasn't one eye open, one eye closed prayer. This wasn't the kind of prayer where the slightest buzz on your phone takes you away down a track that distracts us for prayer for the next half an hour. This was fervent, sincere, desperate prayer. So they prayed. They faced trouble, they prayed, and there was repentance in their prayer, there was a reality in their prayer. And as we watch them, we should learn. We learn ourselves. We're taught how we're to pray, especially when we hit trouble. Sometimes the trouble that we face is unrelated to sin. Think about Job. There's a whole book there that makes clear to us that Job, although he encountered the most desperate trouble, it wasn't because of sin. It was actually because of his righteousness. So we can never look at somebody and say, you're having a hard time, well, what have you done? Sometimes the trouble that we face is absolutely nothing to do with sin. But sometimes trouble can be sin-related. We can swing to the other extreme. And sometimes never stop to think, well, what is God saying to me when I hit trouble? Sometimes when we're spiritually drifting, sometimes when we're so deep in the world that we can't find time to open God's word, we have no heart or mind to actually draw near to him in prayer. The only way he can reach us is in providence. And so sometimes God gets our attention through even difficult circumstances. And when we face that, we should ask the Lord to search our hearts. And when we see sin, we're to repent. And when we pray, whatever is going on in our lives, whether we're going through hard times or whether things are relatively easy, when we pray, it should be real. It should be intense. We are to remember as we pray, and our prayer would be transformed if we remembered every time that we open our mouths and every time that we bend our knee, that we have an audience with the King of Kings. He's listening. So as we pray, we are to engage in prayer with all our hearts. So the first thing we see as they respond to this trouble is that they prayed. And the second thing we see as we continue through the chapter is they plan. As we step through the verses, we see that God's people, having first spoken to God, they now begin to speak to each other. We often get that order wrong. You know, we speak to everybody else first. We're on the phone, we're messaging, we're seeking counsel here, there, and everywhere. We're talking to everyone in our experience before we actually get on our knees and speak to God. Well, that's the wrong order, and we see that here. They speak first to God, and then they speak to each other, and they begin to plan. There's action now in terms of the practicalities of the situation. Kenny Stewart, the minister in Glasgow, says, until we pray, there is nothing we can do. But once you pray, there is everything to do. And that's what we see here. There's activity and there's planning in the next few verses. Stage one of the plan is to alert Esther, the queen, to the problem. Remember, Esther's locked away in the palace. She is in this luxurious prison. She has no Wi-Fi connection. She has no iPhone. She has no connection with the outside world. She doesn't know what's going on. So the news of this edict, this order, wouldn't have reached her. But as Mordecai and as the other Jews go out onto the streets and they start to weep and pray publicly, the news would soon get to Esther that all was not well. That's what happened. In verse 4, we're told Esther's maids and eunuchs came in, having been out there on the street, and they told her about Mordecai, and she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. So Esther, when she hears of Mordecai's state, her first instinct is to protect and calm down Mordecai. You know, this public display of attention was going to draw attention to Mordecai. People would start to see his nationality, that he's a Jew. People would start to realize that he has faith, and that may get Mordecai into a whole lot of trouble. So she sends a new outfit for Mordecai to put on. Which was a bit like putting a, a wee plaster over a wound that needs 1,000 stitches. And Mordecai, when he receives this new outfit, he sends it straight back. He won't take it. Which was another indication to Esther that something serious was wrong. And I think there's a lesson there for us just to note in passing. We can be very quick to act like Esther. When people are in distress, we're very quick sometimes just to say, you know, it's okay, don't worry. Just don't give it a thought. Just think about something else. You know, change your clothes, wash your face, take a walk. Don't cry, just forget about it. But sometimes that's not the right thing to do. Sometimes the right thing to do is to cry and lament and be sad, as they were here. Situation was serious. This was not the time for God's people to change their outfit and feel better. They needed to weep. And Esther is beginning to understand that as she receives this outfit from Mordecai back to the palace. And Esther now has to send a message out to Mordecai to find out what's going on. So verse 5, then Esther summoned Hathath, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathath went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. And let's hit pause there just for a second. I wonder if I was to have asked the question this morning, or even at 5 o'clock this afternoon, tell me about Hathath. You know these Bible trivia quizzes. You know, tell me about Hathath. What do we know about Hathath? I would doubt if anybody would have been able to give much of an answer when it came to a question about Hathath. I think most of us would have said, you know, who is he? We don't know his name. To be honest, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. But God knew his name. And God the Holy Spirit made sure that his name was recorded. Hathath's job here was crucial. We see that. He needs to go out of the palace, which may have been risky. He needs to find Mordecai. Remember, Mordecai now is a marked man. Haman, the prime minister, has his sights on him. And Hathath, he needs to find out the truth. He needs to find out the extent of the bad news about the danger that God's people were in. And then he needs to take that report and carry it back to Esther. So on the one hand, Hathath's job was quite straightforward. He was just a messenger. But his job was absolutely crucial. He was one of the links in the chain that led to the salvation of God's people just a little down the line. And Wiersbe, the commentator, he says this. He says, I doubt that Hathath realized what an important part he was playing in God's plan to defeat Haman and save the Jews. And then he follows up by saying this. So often in the work of the Lord, he uses obscure people to accomplish important tasks. What was the name, asks Wiersbe, of the lad who gave Jesus his loaves and fishes? Who were the men who rescued Paul by lifting him over that Damascus wall in a basket? What was the name of the little servant girl who told Naaman to go and see the prophet? We don't know. But God used these people to accomplish his purposes. As great doors can swing upon small hinges, so great events can turn upon the deeds of small and sometimes anonymous people. So the application is to be a Hathath. Be available, be willing to be a messenger of God. Be willing to be a link in the chain that God may use to save his people. Let's carry on, verse 7. Mordecai told him everything that happened to him, including including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for the annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathath went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And if you put yourself in the shoes of Hathath just for a minute, he must have been thinking, what on earth am I involved in here? You know, I went out with a fairly straightforward message. I thought I was just going out to deliver a message, but what am I in the middle of here? I mean, he can see, surely, that he is in the middle of something serious. Hathath was probably thinking, what's going to happen if I'm found out to be an agent to the Jews? What's going to happen if Xerxes and Haman discover that I've been leaking information to do with this edict and I might be used to undermine it? And this was serious stuff. This was life and death stuff. But he didn't shrink back. He's faithful in passing on the message from Mordecai to Esther. And now he's got another message to pass back in reply. Look at verse 10 and 11. Esther, there's a bit of ping pong here. The message is going back and forth. They didn't have a mobile phone. They couldn't text in 3 seconds. Then she, Esther, instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and all the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law: that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and spare his life. But for 30 days, says Esther, 30 days has passed since I was called to go into the king. There was a time when the king seemed to be absolutely infatuated with Esther, but it seems that just now is not that time. And Esther is worried. Some say that Esther's been selfish here. Some of the commentators say she's just thinking about number one. She's just thinking about the danger that she's in. She's just thinking about saving her own skin. She's not thinking about the 15 million Jews that could be affected. We don't know that. I think that's harsh, personally. Now, I wonder if Esther's just counting the cost here. She's in a position where she may be able, on behalf of her people, to plead for mercy. She's at a juncture where she may, on behalf of her people, be able to seek salvation, but she recognizes she's not flavor of the month with the king. So this is risky. This king can be rash. He can be unpredictable. We saw that with Vashti. She says no to him once and she's gone. One historian tells a story about Xerxes, and it's a story where his army are marching from one place to the other. I can't remember where they were marching from and to. But en route in this army's march, they were to cross two bridges. So up ahead in the route that was selected, there was two bridges that they were due to cross. But before the army arrived at the bridges, the area was hit by a storm. And such was the strength of the storm that the two bridges were swept away by the waters. And the army was held back. And it says, and I'm just reading here from the article, Xerxes was enraged and had those responsible for building the bridges beheaded. He is then said to have thrown fetters into the strait, given it 300 whiplashes, and branded it with red-hot irons as the soldiers shouted at the water. So this is the kind of man we're dealing with. So furious is he when he doesn't get his own way that he says he's going to whip the sea. Now, he's not a stable man. And so Esther is in a very risky situation as she's been asked to make her approach. And so she tells that to Mordecai. She tells Mordecai, this is far from straightforward. My neck is on the line here. This is risky. I wonder when you and I last took a risk for God. You know, Esther's weighing that up just now. She recognises the risk, the potential cost here. When did you and I last take a risk for God? You know, we're not living in a Xerxes culture. We're not going to lose our heads for speaking about Jesus, but we can lose our reputation. We can lose our credibility. We can lose friends. It can be risky to share faith. So when did we last take a risk for Jesus' sake? That's the Esther issue that she's wrestling with at this point. The stakes are high for her. And so she reports back to Mordecai, verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. And that's the key verse in the book, I think. If I was to ask the question beforehand, tell me a verse from Esther, that would be the verse we'd go to. Who knows? But that you, Esther, have come to royal position for such a time as this. Esther here is recognised. We recognise Esther as the woman that God put in a particular place at a particular time to do this particular job. And Esther, if she was willing, that's what she's wrestling with. If she was willing, God was going to use her to bring salvation to her people. What would have happened if she bottled it? What would have happened if Esther just said, no, it's just too high a risk? Well, Mordecai actually gives the answer to that. And he says to Esther, Esther, if you remain silent, if you hide in the palace, Esther, then God will still save his people. But he'll save his people through someone else. Some other way. But maybe, Esther, says Mordecai, maybe God's plan is to use you. You know, as we look around in the place that God has put us, in terms of our family, in terms of our friends, in terms of this place, as we think about the time that we're living in, the circumstances that we face, none of it's a coincidence. And you know, in the circumstances that we're in, at the time that we're living in, the lesson, one of the lessons from the book of Esther is that if we are God's people, he wants to use us. And it's a great privilege. God doesn't need us. But he gives us the opportunity to be used in his salvation story. So Esther has that opportunity now. So what would she do? She's prayed. There's a plan that's coming together. And the final thing is that she proceeds. Then Esther, verse 15, sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. And I think it's worth noting there, just before we move on, that the people around Esther, her maids, they now know she's one of God's people. They might not have known in the past, but they now know that she's one of God's people. Esther, at some point, has shared her faith with them. And Esther has used the position and the influence that she has to encourage them to look to the God that she worships, because Esther says, not just I will pray, but she says, my people, these people who are with me, my maids, they will pray as well. They'll fast as I do. And when this is done, says Esther, verse 16, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And so as we finish, we can see Esther is going forward. She's proceeding. And in this section, we see the same pattern again, don't we? She prays. She calls for corporate prayer. Then she plans. She has this plan to go to the king, even though it was against the law, even though it may cost her life. And now Esther and Mordecai are ready to proceed. So what will happen next? Well, if you haven't read the book of Esther, you're going to have to wait for that. We'll find out in due course what will happen next. But just a closing thought. Think about this. Esther is pointing us here to Jesus. We see previews of Jesus in this story. You know, Esther saw here at this juncture, she may have to lay down her life in seeking to save her people. But Jesus knew before he came that he definitely would have to lay down his life to save us. But he did it in accordance with the plan of God. He came. He lived, he died. He proceeded to the cross for us. So let's look to him. Let's trust in him. And we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, this account of what happened in history many, many years ago. And we see the complexity and the wonder of your plan to save your people when all looked lost, when it looked absolutely hopeless. We see the wonder of how you used even Esther and Mordecai and even Hathath to bring your salvation plan into action. And we know that this plan is a plan which didn't stop with Esther, but it carried on all the way to Jesus. He is the one who would be born as the King of the Jews, from the line of the Jews. And we thank you that Jesus did come into this world. We thank you for the eternal salvation plan of God. We thank you that Jesus laid down his life in order that we could be saved, in order that we would not perish, but that if we believed in him, we would have eternal life. So help us to look to Jesus. Help us to trust in Jesus. And help us, as Esther did, to serve you, Lord, in the places and the situations that you put us in, day by day, in our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will sing to finish hymn 680. And we see the words on the screen. My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care.
My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.